Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Dr. Zed Chu and Ken Miller. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center, and Dr. Miller is a medical oncologist specializing in pain and palliative care, and he also serves as the Director of the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Clinic. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Ken Miller sits down for a talk with Lucinda Hogarty, the Program Director for the Connecticut Cancer Partnership.
The Connecticut Cancer Partnership is a voluntary coalition, unincorporated, of people from around the state of Connecticut and organizations from around the state of Connecticut that are committed to reducing the burden of cancer in the state's population. It basically is based on the principles of comprehensive cancer control, which means that if we work together, we can probably accomplish more in a more efficient, effective way than agencies and organizations working separately without knowing what each other is doing.
So let me ask you, what brought you to this kind of work and to this position? What's your background?
My background is I have a master's in public health from Yale, and I've always had an interest in health promotion, most broadly defined. I've worked in local community hospitals. I've worked in local health departments. I've worked in a lot of coalition building, specifically in the areas of elder care and public health preparedness. But the common thread was working with community partners to achieve a common goal. So, and the fact that such a high percentage of cancer is preventable, that really leads to the health promotion message. So I was very excited to be able to work on this coalition approach to comprehensive cancer control here in Connecticut.
So let me ask you, obviously there's a lot of organizations in Connecticut that are interested in preventing cancer and better treatment for cancer. What are some of the advantages of having a coalition of these groups? And obviously it sounds like this is one of your skills and interests is putting people together. What's so good about it?
I think it comes down to the principle of synergy, which may sound a little undefined, but I do believe that there are real advantages to working together in that we do learn from each other's best practices. We learn what things might need to be avoided as far as things that haven't worked out as well as we might have hoped in the planning stages. And I think the most important part of what the Connecticut Cancer Partnership is doing right now is developing a statewide cancer control plan. And this is to address the needs in the state over the next 5 years. We are wrapping up the first cancer plan, which covered 2005 to 2008. So we're at a critical juncture right now, looking at what we learned from the previous plan, what has worked well in terms of our structure of organizations working together, and how we might go forward differently.
What are the main goals and the initiatives of the coalition, as they exist now? And then we'll talk a little bit about sort of where you think things may be going.
The way the Cancer Partnership members are organized to actually achieve the goals of the partnership is divided into what we've called continuum work groups across the cancer continuum. So we have experts from the area of prevention, early detection, treatment, survivorship, and end-of-life issues working as separate entities because those are the experts from those specific disciplines to identify activities that need to take place across the state. And this might be zeroing in on a geographic area, on a population that's been unserved or underserved, and trying to address what their needs are. A lot of the comprehensive cancer control approach has been in trying to identify the best way to effectively deliver messages, public health messages, with regard to prevention of cancer, early detection, very importantly, and getting quality treatment and addressing any barriers to care that people might experience with regard to disparities and access issues.
So let me ask you a broader question. We'll talk about the United States in general, and then we can focus a little bit on Connecticut. But if you were to give us, sort of the United States a report card on in terms of getting the message out, in terms of, let's say, prevention, cigarette smoking, diet, exercise, what would you give us as a grade in terms of a healthcare system?
As a state?
Well, we'll do as a nation, and then what we do as a state.
I see huge improvement over the past 20 years since I graduated and got my master's in public health. I think the social marketing campaigns have been very effective, and we do know that, for example, in cigarette smoking, in the past 40 years or so, the percentage of Americans who smoke has been cut in half. Mm-hmm. That's a huge success story. I think there are more challenges right now in sun exposure and some environmental exposures. Mm-hmm. I think there's much better understanding now about the importance of early detection, making sure that people find those messages acceptable and act on them is perhaps another issue. But I think a grade, it's probably hard to give a grade,
it's okay.
But I think that we've moved from probably average C, not a very desirable grade, up into the B.
All right.
Maybe B plus in some specific areas. There's certainly lots of room for improvement.
Right. So how about as a state?
State, I would say it's similar. Mm-hmm. And there are some pockets where I know in my position, I feel that I particularly have a challenge to reach out to areas of the state that might not receive the message. And I came from the northeastern corner of the state. Mm-hmm. That's a good example of an area that I'd like to reach out more to. Some of the smaller hospitals haven't been as involved as we'd like to see them be in some of these statewide initiatives. So we'd like to really, there are grades in different categories. Mm-hmm. That's a commonly used measure, of course. And I think in some of the end-of-life measures in pain control, palliation at the end of life, we've seen some improvement. We're also really looking to make sure that the level of awareness and education among health professionals continues to increase so that the professionals are able to provide good guidance to cancer patients, but to people in general before they're diagnosed with cancer.
Now, keeping in mind that you want to incorporate people throughout the state, and especially you're talking about, sort of underserved areas or areas that have been less involved, how does the membership of the coalition, who belongs, and how have you tried to incorporate people from, let's say, underserved populations or more remote areas of the state?
Right now, our membership actually reflects representation from about 150 organizations. The numbers of individuals from each organization varies. Some of our bigger organizations may have 30 or 40 individual members, but they may be representing very different programmatic areas within. For example, the Department of Public Health, Yale, the UConn Health Center, American Cancer Society, all are founding members of the Connecticut Cancer Partnership. And each one of those founding member organizations has many subdivisions and different organizations. So what we really do, those are just examples, but what we really do is try to use our organization's ability to reach into their own communities, reach their own constituents to get the messages out. One of the things that we've been trying to do is identify the gaps. Mm-hmm. What organizations are not represented at this point? So we're reaching out to other, for example, minority health coalitions, organizations at the grassroots level, where we know it's not our job to go out and talk to patients individually, but it is our job to make sure that those organizations that reach out to the individual have that synergy, that power mm-hmm. of the collaborative approach behind them as far as getting the message delivered, learning about practice, practices, best practices that are working out well, following examples, being able to really learn from each other's experience. And also that way we can identify gaps in service and avoid duplication.
Now, the Connecticut Cancer Partnership is going to basically produce a cancer control plan. What does that document look like? I mean, I get a sense it's probably it's a large document. But what's in there?
The current document, the Connecticut Cancer Control Plan for 2005-2008, is a 150-page document. It was written with the input of the experts from the different areas of the continuum, the spectrum. For each one of those continuum areas, there are identified goals and objectives, and each one of those objectives has action steps or strategies that really translate into action. That's the goal. The goal is to be able not just to have this document be a report on it certainly does use statistics and data to identify what the problem is, the magnitude of the problems in each of the areas, but using that data, it identifies what needs to be done. So we would hope that moving forward for the 2009-2013 plan, the document would reflect accomplishments, work that has been done, but it would also be able to, in very clear language, identify who needs to do what to promote a reduction in cancer in the state. And that really would lead, we would hope, to perhaps policy change, perhaps legislative change, sustainable funding, the allocation of resources to specific areas, whether that would be identifying a particular clinic or a particular geographic area that might need additional funding or support, or advocating for an increase in the cigarette tax, for example.
Which I have to say I would be in favor of personally. Talking about the plan and then how to actually translate it, obviously one of the things is funding. So who funds the partnership's activities itself to keep it going?
Okay, the way it's worked over the past several years is each state in the United States was required by the Centers for Disease Control to have a comprehensive cancer control plan and some sort of a coalition to implement that. So there was planning funding available to the states through the Department of Public Health in each state to set up this planning stage. And at a certain point, the states reached that point at different times. The CDC was able to convert the funding from planning to implementation. So some of the funding did come from the Centers for Disease Control, federal money, to the State Department of Public Health. Then subsequent to that, we've been able to use the work that was done in the planning with the identification of implementation strategies.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'd like to remind you that you can email your questions to canceranswers@yale.edu. Please stay tuned to learn more about the Connecticut Cancer Partnership with Lucinda Hogarty.
Over 170,000 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer this year, and more than 85% of these diagnoses are related to smoking. The important thing to understand is that quitting, even after decades of use, can significantly reduce your risk of developing lung cancer. Now, everyday patients with lung cancer are surviving thanks to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care, and new treatment options are giving lung cancer survivors new hope. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for lung cancer, and patients enrolled in these trials are given access to medicines not yet approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, and you'll find more information at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.
Well, welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm here with Lucinda Hogarty, Program Director for the Connecticut Cancer Partnership. Lucinda, the partnership was formed in 2002. What do you think are some of the main accomplishments over the last 6 years?
We are in the process of really evaluating those accomplishments over the last several years so that we can learn from them and use them as a springboard for the formation of our new plan. So what we've been able to do is really identify accomplishments by the continuum elements that I have talked about. So, for example, starting with prevention. When we talk about our accomplishments, we are taking credit, I guess I should say, for many of the accomplishments that are done by our partners. Mm-hmm. We are, as I mentioned, an unincorporated voluntary coalition. So we're not out there delivering services to individuals. But through cross-cutting themes, cross-cutting activities such as advocacy, we are able to accomplish something with the force of our membership behind us. So many of the accomplishments have come about in that way. For example, we have been able to devote over $2 million to smoking cessation programs in the state of Connecticut through legislative appropriations. There has been additional funding for breast and cervical cancer early detection programs through an existing program at the Department of Public Health, but additional funding has been able to go to that. Quitline, which is one of the smoking cessation tools that's been used in the state, was in jeopardy of losing funding, and through some good advocacy and support from the Connecticut Cancer Partnership, we were able to infuse some funds into sustaining that. These are, for example, accomplishments in the prevention arena. Early detection, of course, would include some of the work that we've been doing both in breast and cervical cancer detection programming, but also in the area of colorectal cancer. We've been able to grant funds to community health centers to provide colonoscopies to people who otherwise would not be able to receive those. I think that's one of our achievements that we're very pleased about. The Clinical Trials Network, which has been established very recently here at Yale, is something that will address treatment, and we can look at best practices, what are successful options, and evaluate the differences between different types of new treatments for cancer. So that's an area that the coalition has been supporting in the area of treatment.
Now, recently, I believe that the state and the partnership funded two initiatives to really make a list or a compendium of services available in end-of-life care and also in cancer survivorship. Can you tell us about those initiatives?
Yes. The survivorship component of the Connecticut Cancer Partnership Partnership's work has gone from recognizing that there are so many more cancer survivors now than ever before, and they do have very special needs. And the survivorship work, one of the things was, and as I mentioned earlier, getting the information out is a big component. There are lots of survivorship programs, but survivors may not know about them. Their providers, their medical providers, may not know about how to direct the patients to them. So one of the things that's currently ongoing is the development of an inventory of resources and services for survivors that will be made available to clinical providers and to the patients through many of our existing partners.
Now, the partnership recently held its annual meeting. I think it was actually very recent. What are some of the main areas of focus?
One of the things that we were really trying to do for the annual meeting is we're making sure that we get the input, the expertise from our members in this development of the new plan. The new plan should be completed by early in 2009. So this past 5 or 6 months, the focus has really been to make sure that we are listening to our experts, our member organizations. So with a focus on disparities, access to care, equality and inequality, we looked at all of the continuum issues. And what we were able to do is evaluate our previous goals, our accomplishments, and be able to prioritize some of those action steps that I was referring to with the input of 150 people representing probably more than 100 organizations to say programmatically and legislatively and in terms of funding, we are saying these are the most important things to do, and these are the most important things to do in order so that the plan doesn't just look like a report, but it looks like marching orders.
Yeah. I have to say, actually, you know, hearing about it as really just a soldier myself, is I'm treating patients with cancer. But it's actually very exciting because there's a flavor that there's a whole group of people in the state looking at the continuum, of which treatment is really just a part.
That's right. Yes. And that's a very interesting perspective when you do look at comprehensive cancer control. I think that's one of the things that's very exciting about the partnership. We would prefer to prevent cancer.
Absolutely.
And we would prefer to detect it early if it exists at all. And then, yes, of course, once you're diagnosed, once you're a cancer patient, those other three components of the continuum kick in to one extent or another. And we want to make sure that the services do represent that continuum.
Now, for you, as a director of the program, what are some of your goals and more broadly the goals that you see for the organization coming up?
Well, we're learning as we develop this new plan that it is very important to get the most broad, the most diverse representation that we possibly can to ensure that the plan is representative of all elements of our population. And our population is changing. Our population is always changing, so we need to be aware of that. When I've done an analysis of our membership, I've identified particularly, I think we'd like to reach out more geographically. Mm-hmm. I think there are underrepresented – Connecticut's a small state, but there are still underrepresented geographic areas that I'd like to reach out to. And perhaps one way to do that is to have meetings and have occasions, forums where we can draw input from people who aren't located in the Hartford-New Haven area. Mm-hmm. I'd like to really draw on the expertise and the connections that local health departments have. The Department of Public Health, the State Department of Public Health, is our partner in this, and we have ways to reach out to local public health, and local public health is charged with health promotion. So it seems like a natural connection to develop. Community health centers is another one that we really need to develop a relationship with, where they recognize us as a resource. And the smaller hospitals, as I mentioned. We would like to get into having stronger relationships with survivor groups, mm-hmm. with home care agencies. And there may be organizations that are community-based that we don't even know about yet.
You know, I want to ask you, a lot has become digital, online, so how will you get a lot of this information, for example, the resource guide for cancer survivors or resource information for end-of-life care? How do you foresee getting it out there to the public?
Well, we do have a website, mm-hmm. and the website is quite good now, but we see expanding it with these additional resources and with lots of linkages to other very good websites that currently exist. There are so many sources of cancer information. The Cancer Information Service, the American Cancer Society, are just two large examples, have ways of getting information out through the web. But we do want to use every medium that we can think of. We have a very active communications committee, as well as an advocacy committee that identifies ways to really get the message out in a way that's going to work. And I think one point I'd really like to make is once our plan is developed, we hope that our member organizations can really use that plan as a framework for their own strategic plans or operational plans moving forward, that they can peg what they do locally to what we've identified as statewide priorities, and what we're doing statewide is also tied into national cancer goals.
Now, the plan will be, it sounds like it's a, is it a 3 or a 4 year plan? And how, during the interim, during that time, I mean, how will you reevaluate if you're meeting your goals?
What we have is we have a data surveillance and evaluation committee. Mm-hmm. And we use the expertise of many people at Yale, many people at the UConn Health Center, and some expert evaluators. They are looking simultaneously at this point right now, because we are bridging our old plan and our new plan right now. They're looking at evidence-based findings on what's been done in the past and trying to apply that to our goals looking forward, but simultaneously developing an evaluation plan so data can be collected on an ongoing basis, not just retrospectively, to see what's working and what's not working. So we feel very strongly that it's important for us to advocate evidence-based strategies and interventions and make those a part of our plan. And also to get that word out to our community-based member organizations that what they need, what they should do if it's pegged to a larger picture needs to be evidence-based and based on good evaluation.
What do you see some of the roadblocks to, to implementing the cancer plan?
There's always the financial issues.
Sure.
We're operating in a period of scarce resources, and the state's facing some real fiscal challenges. So that's certainly one. We hope that we're going to be able to identify. We need to work smarter. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole idea of synergy and collaboration does allow us to use scarce resources in a more efficient way.
And in terms of, I mean, are there internal politics and you know, between organizations, and do you see the coalition sort of helping to pull people together?
Yeah, I do see the coalition helping to bring people together. In fact, when we have done evaluations, that's really the primary benefit that people cite to being a member organization, the opportunity to network and to find and to meet their counterparts at other institutions. Inevitably, I think there's going to be some jockeying for position, mm-hmm. but I think that the very nature of comprehensive cancer control overrides that competition to a certain extent, and if it doesn't, that's one of our goals that we would certainly try to address.
Now, I just want to make a personal observation and sort of get your feedback. But again, I sit one on one with patients making decisions about treatment, and yet, what I'm hearing is really a much broader view of cancer. Does that have to, just looking back in your own background, is that really related to your own training in public health? Is that how people in public health sort of look more broadly?
Yeah, I think that's one of the differences between public health and medicine. And it's very interesting to see those two perspectives come together within the Connecticut Cancer Partnership, within comprehensive cancer control. And I think that's one of the very exciting things mm-hmm. that this approach does bring to I agree. Cancer patients are not looking at the continuum. They're looking at where they are right now.
That's
and
right.
Most medical providers have to focus in the moment. But yes, this steps back and says, no, we're on a continuum, and the best way to leverage all of our resources is to look at the big picture.
We're going to stop in a minute, but I wanted to ask you again, what are the working groups again? Because I think it does reflect that whole continuum.
The working groups are across the continuum, and so we start with prevention, then we have early detection, and then treatment, of course, and treatment focuses in on issues that would relate to quality treatment, so that would involve clinical trials and access and barriers, then survivorship, that growing area, and the end-of-life palliation pain control group. We also have cross-cutting work groups that mm-hmm. address communications, data surveillance evaluation, and advocacy.
Actually, it's very exciting hearing about all that and about your work. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me on Yale Cancer Center Answers.
Thank you for having me.
And until next week, this is Dr. Ken Miller from the Yale Cancer Center wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions for the doctors or would like to share your comments, go to yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. Next week, Ken Miller speaks with Dr. Susan Higgins about radiation oncology for gynecological cancers. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.